Merry Christmas, everyone. It's good to see you all. Christmas is a time to treasure. But unfortunately, a few months ago, my Christmas has been a bit tainted. There's a picture that I treasure that was sent to me, and it means I can't wear my favorite shirt on Christmas Day anymore. A few months ago, I was doing speaking at church, and it was zoomed over the internet, and some of the young people got my image and turned it into a Santa Claus. How rude is that? Now, investigations are still ongoing, but that's my Christmas ruined. I can't wear my favorite red shirt anymore. It'll just be used and abused. Have you ever come home from an event like a musical or a fireworks display or a sports event, and you come home and your head hits the pillow and it just can't switch off? It churns over in your mind as to what has just gone on. It's like sensory overload, and it just keeps replaying. And if you've been on the Big Dipper or the Zipper or something, your head moves around with all the movements of that roller coaster. I guess that's what it would have been like for Mary on that first Christmas. Things had happened so fast, and it was so unusual that she just needed time to stop and think things through and just recount everything that happened and just process what had just happened and just wonder at how things all fitted together in God's plan. What did the angel say that turned her world upside down the day that she actually said yes to God's plan? I love the verse where Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. It just paints a picture of quiet reflection. And when you take the time out to ponder and treasure events, you refocus your attention from all the glitz, all the tinsel, the bright lights, the food, and the songs that are happening in the background that's constantly being streamed to us. And you sit down and you just focus on what is significant about Christmas. What is the important things that I should be thinking on? And I must admit, it's so good to see so many people come together on Christmas Day to refocus and just to spend the time to acknowledge that we're remembering the Lord Jesus Christ today. And so it's good to see you here with everything that's happening in the world and the things that can take your attention away, the fact that you can come here and be with us this morning. So what did Mary ponder about? What did she think about? What was she treasuring? And I don't think it was the actual birth of the Lord Jesus that Mary was thinking about, but everything that surrounded that event. The angel, when the angel first appeared to Mary, and she was scared stiff, and he said, "Don't be afraid. And you found favor with God. You are to have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." Maybe she thought about that angel that she said yes to. Maybe she thought about the angels who went and visited the shepherds. And at Jesus Club, we remembered the shepherds the last time that we met. And we imagined that the shepherds were sitting around the campfire and they were roasting marshmallows on the campfire. And then these angels came and told them this great news that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be born and born in a manger, and you can go and see him. And this ragtag bunch of shepherds looked at each other and said, well, what are we doing here? Let's go and find this little baby that has just been talked to us about by this heavenly host and this big choir that came and sang. Let's go and tell everyone what we've just seen. Maybe Mary thought about that. Maybe she thought about the prophet Isaiah and just the words that were said in the prophet's writings. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His dominion will be so vast, and he'll bring immeasurable prosperity. He will rule on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establishing it and strengthening it by promoting justice and fairness from this time forward and forevermore. Maybe she thought about other Isaiah's words, the words that Jesus would eventually quote later on in his ministry. The Lord's Spirit has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind and free everyone who suffers. Boy, I wonder if Mary got the prophecies that were said about the Lord Jesus and made those links. You know, I'm just been officially categorized as being old, because now I'm a grandfather of 3 weeks, and it's amazing when I went to see this little baby how much time and effort it takes up. This little package upends your world. They demand your full attention, and they demand our hearts, don't they? A baby does nothing in and of itself. Like, it sits there. It lies there. It's got its scrunched up little face, and it squeals, and it can't sing or dance or, you know, have these activities that we can say, oh, this baby's really good at algebra. She's going to fill in my tax return when I grow older. She can't kick a football. She can't wash the dishes. This little baby just sits there and gets all the attention it needs. This little vulnerable package full of mini explosions and projectiles doesn't even have a developed personality yet, and yet we've got this inbuilt desire to protect and nurture them and care for them and hold them. I don't think I've seen my granddaughter in the bassinet yet. Always someone has them in their arms. But for Mary, it wasn't so much about the baby, but what he would achieve, the promises that the angel said that he would be a king and come and bring peace. The Christmas story seems so important to so many people today, that even people who are not active followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who've accepted him as their Savior, even they see that the Christmas story is important. And maybe when you see a baby in a manger, it's not very threatening, is it? Not very threatening compared to the Christ who the prophets declared, or later on in the Gospels, the Jesus Christ who upturned the tables in the temple. The baby in the manger is sweet and cuddly. It's controllable I've got an invention for my granddaughter. It's a bond suit with Velcro stitched to the outside. So you can put it on the, put her on the carpet and the Velcro sticks, so you know exactly where she'll be when you come back. She can't move. She's there. That's my pro tip for all new mums and dads. Get a bond suit and stick Velcro on it. The baby in a manger is sort of like a god in a box. It's very controlled. It's pigeonholed. We know exactly what its parameters are and where we fit into this situation. We're comfortable to approach this manger and to think about it, even worship the baby in the manger. Yet it's on our terms, and there's no demands placed on us. You know, we can come to this little baby and it's really nice and all sweet and cuddly. But when you think about the cross that's behind the manger, the cross is where the manger is heading. When you think about the cross, that's not a pretty picture. It's not very approachable. He's not the one that we're drawn to or attracted to. It doesn't generate any warm or fuzzy feelings, does it? It's harsh. Or the Christ who stood in victory over death, standing beside the empty tomb. Many have made a lot about the baby in the manger, because it's the kind of God they wish to serve. A God who's weak, a God who's helpless, who needs our interaction with them rather than God inputting into our lives, rather than a God who's powerful and just and mighty and who desires our obedience, our worship, and our all. It's easy to trick our minds into thinking that God wants something from us, that God needs something from us, that we need to do something for God, rather than a God who wants to do something for us out of his great love, out of his great compassion, out of his great mercy. He wants to give us peace with himself. The baby needs care and attention from us. God wants us to accept his care and attention, mercy and forgiveness. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So this Christmas, very simple message. I want you to take time out to ponder and treasure God's gift to mankind. Find a quiet corner at your place. I'd suggest somewhere a bit more peaceful than the kitchen. And if you're not acquainted with the kitchen, maybe you've spent too much time in the quiet corner and you need to get in the kitchen and do some washing up. But take some time out to ponder on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you can think about the baby in the manger and God giving this little baby to us. But I also want you to think of where that manger is heading, and it's going all the way to the cross on our behalf so that we can have a relationship with God. So what are you going to ponder about this Christmas? Like Mary, will you try and see how God is working in your lives? Maybe bringing things and opportunities your way, maybe friendships or relationships that will draw you closer into a relationship with him. Maybe you can work out, you know, where is God? What is God doing here? Where can I fit into his plan? And like Mary from the video, Are you willing to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ? And like Mary, are you willing to say yes and hang on for the ride? Because you don't know where God is going to take you or what new opportunities or avenues or works of service that God can bring your way. So I wish you a Merry Christmas as you ponder and treasure the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the real reason for this season. And so Chad's going to come and pray and give a few announcements. Thanks.